Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, we're back, folks, and we want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Are you going to watch the debate this evening? And if so, what are your expectations? What do you hope to hear? Got a number of texts about what I was talking about last hour, about where is the healthcare system at a breaking point. State of Utah is one of them. In fact, Kimberly Schoaf, an expert in public health crisis at the University of Utah, said that they are now seeing more than 1,000 new daily infections a day, that the experts had warned that they were going to be needing to take steps here in order to deal with that. And she, quote unquote, says our healthcare system is almost at a breaking point at the present time. They have a sneaky suspicion that their cases will go up even more. And the other systems that are in trouble are in the Midwest and the Mountain West. And they're seeing a whole bunch of cases there as well. It's always amazing to me how skeptical folks are about any number of these issues relative to this. And then there are those that are not skeptical at all as it relates to what has been talked about relative to Hunter Biden. But you know what? You know things are changing when CNN's Brian Stelter now says that this story is worth looking into. Now, he qualifies that by saying it maybe it's not ready to be reported. And we know that why that is. It'll be ripe for reporting on November the 4th, but not a day before that. And the realities are is that, you know, this information is being validated by independent sources over and over and over again. Obviously, Vice President Joe Biden says that this is a smear job, nothing that has not been looked into already, and yet that's been debunked because that was only talking about Ukraine. That wasn't talking about China. There is a recent story out now. Tony Babulinski, who is listed as the recipient of the email that was one of the emails published in the New York Post, he actually validated the emails and said, yes, I was on that chain. I was a recipient of that email. I do, in fact, he remembers the email. He goes further to say, in the email that talked about a proposed equity split as it related to that China venture that he was brought in, and he is the CEO of Sinohawk Holdings. He was brought on as CEO of Sinohawk Holdings by Hunter Biden and James Gillier, the sender of that email. He says that the proposed equity split, 20 for H and 10 to be held by H for the big guy, that the big guy is Joe Biden. So now you have one of the recipients of the email who's actually now a Biden, obviously a Biden ally, who was in business with the guy, who's now confirmed the whole intent in and around this email relative to China. Now, I can't tell you whether or not he's a Russian asset or not. Obviously, that's going to be, in about an hour or so, that'll be the claims being made by folks that yet another Russian asset that is talking about this particular situation, or maybe even a Chinese asset. I don't know. They may jump off of Russia and go to China as it relates to these issues. Well, this series of concentric circles are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And it won't be too far off before this is choking Joe Biden. And to respond that this is just a smear campaign against his family is not going to get it. Now, the question to you is if in fact Joe knew that Hunter was basically selling the vice president's office for the purposes of gaining access to these companies to come in and do business in this country through the White House, does that not concern you? We've heard about all of the national security concerns because Donald Trump came into office as a businessman who actually had dealings in foreign countries. This is a 47-year veteran of federal government service in elected office that now this is the third or possibly the fourth independent source that validates these emails. Does it not cause you concern? Also, what we found out is that the laptop that was seized by the FBI has been assigned a case ID number, which implies that it's a money laundering investigation. Fox News has received a document, the receipt for property form that was given to John Paul Mac Isaac, the owner of the Mac shop where the laptop was dropped off. And on it, it says case ID is 272D-BA-306-5729. The 272D has been confirmed by former FBI officials as meaning that is their indication of money laundering, unknown specified unlawful activity, white collar crime program. The BA means that it originated from the Baltimore field office. The subpoena actually came from the Wilmington, Delaware office, which is under the jurisdiction of the Baltimore field office. And that's kind of how the way that they break down structurally. So there's yet another piece of evidence and validation that this is actually in the hands of the FBI at the present time. That individual from the Mac shop is has also been brought before the federal grand jury. He received a federal grand jury subpoena. The FBI cannot open a case, typically, or at least as far as I know, without some kind of predication, meaning that there's an indication of some criminal activity that's gone on and that there was sufficient evidence. And usually they go through a hierarchy in DOJ in order to get the approval, and especially if it's related to the son of the former vice president, they are just not going to cavalierly go through that process before they open a federal investigation. Still crickets from major media outlets. The ethics in media are gone. They had less information as it related to the Russian collusion story available to them that they reported on than what they have right now. And by this afternoon, I'm sure it's going to be even more, because you will recall that I said yesterday that one of Hunter Biden's former partners gave access to his Gmail account to a reporter, and he has hundreds, if not thousands, of emails that they are going through and trying to connect before they actually reveal and report on these emails as to what they ultimately mean. And they're going down the chain of all the people listed on these emails. And these folks are validating them simply because I'm sure that they fully anticipate and expect that they're going to be brought before a federal grand jury at some point in time, because that's just the way that these investigations go. So now you have one of the recipients of the email that says the big guy is, in fact, Joe Biden. So we're talking about splitting up money in the whole intent of the CEC, which is the group out of China, was to gain access to political operatives in the U.S. in order to foster their business. There's another breaking story that Joe Biden's brother sent an email that lists a number of folks that are domestic contacts for one of their target projects. Now, we don't know what target project it is, but it came from Jim Biden. And these emails are going to be compelling at the end of the day. On the list, Kamala Harris, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Dianne Feinstein, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, amongst others, all Democrats. These are potential contacts about target projects. I'm sure what's going to happen next is that we're going to be linking what committees they actually sit on in Congress to a particular target project, and I'm sure that's why they're going through all of these emails with a fine-tooth comb as it relates to the CEC, it's the CEFC, the China Energy Company. So it's going to be interesting to see where this ultimately plays out. I'm sure that the vice president's going to be asked the question this evening at the debate. Should he be? I think he should. Should he answer? I think he should. Will he? I don't think he will. Because faced with these emails, now an email from his brother, as well as former business partners of his son, some whom are in jail for fraud, some whom are about to go to jail for fraud, and last man standing is Hunter, it's going to be very interesting how this plays itself out. We'll be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. So the question is this worth reporting about? There are some say that it's worthy of these news organizations to investigate, but maybe not prime for reporting just yet. My suspicion is that it will become prime on November 4th. Let's go to Brett on line one. Brett, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Newell?
Good, and you?
I'm doing well. First, I just wanted to thank you for making sure that this information is talked about. I will be watching the debate tonight. I don't anticipate that these questions will be asked of Joe Biden. I hope they are, but I don't anticipate that he will. And I don't expect that even if he was asked that he would be pressed for an answer. I think it goes back to just like he handled the court packing question. I'm not going to answer that now. As far as the corruption that has followed Joe Biden, I believe that it's followed him for the 47 years that he's been in politics. So I don't think this should surprise anybody. I believe that this is extremely big news. And I think that it disqualifies Joe Biden from being president of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, if in fact they can make the link, he claims that he knew nothing about what his son was doing. I find that hard to believe if he's bringing his son to China on Air Force Two and that they never discuss anything of what he's involved in. I just find that hard to believe. I have a son. I have a daughter. I know what's going on in their life. At any given moment, I know what they're doing relative to being in business or otherwise.
I think it's so disingenuous of him when he said, because I think he was asked, did you not look into this? And he was like, well, he didn't have a look on his face that made me want to look into it. And I think whether he knew or didn't know, I think he's culpable. And, I think if he didn't know and didn't ask and wasn't concerned enough to get involved, I think that's even as damning as if he actually knew. And I will say this, I'll leave you with this. when you talk about investigative reporting by the media, look, the media is so selective in what they want to investigate. I mean, there was a major investigation into whether Joe Paterno knew whether Jerry Sandusky was involved in, you know, his activity. This is a bigger story than that. Where's the media at on that? So it's sad, really. And I appreciate you bringing it up, though. I think it needs to be talked about a lot between now and November 3rd. Hey, Newey, have a good day.
All righty, Brett. Thank you so much. You know, I was talking about Tony Bobulinski earlier. He's the former Biden associate. And actually, he issued a statement yesterday. And in his statement, he said that Hunter Biden and his uncle, James Biden, aggressively leveraged their family name to secure foreign business deals. And he provided a bunch of records, not the same on a laptop, but some of the records that in emails and stuff that he's provided has actually validated what was on the laptop that was reported in the New York Post. So this comes from an entirely different source. And in fact, some of the transactions that occurred with the transfer of dollars between this Chinese communist operative company, CEFC, were actually flagged by banking regulators for possible criminal activity, which is probably why the designation on the subpoena and the grand jury proceedings are about money laundering. And so when you begin to look at this, it was initially flagged, and it's going to be interesting to see where this all ultimately ends up. According to one document that was provided by Bobulinski, the members of CEFC, that's the Chinese company, complained that they had provided a $5 million interest-free loan to the Bidens, interest-free. There's no discussion about how this is going to be paid, and they were concerned if this is used up and we keep lending more money to the family, they need to know what the interest rate for the subsequent loans are going to be that they wrote in an email to Bobulinski on August the 1st of 2017. Now, keep in mind, Democrats have cast doubt on all the authenticity of these emails because this is all Russia collusion and interference in the election. But I, as I said earlier, Bobulinski, the former partner of Hunter Biden, has now confirmed the authenticity of these. There's another email where they talked about this partnership with the CEFC where Hunter Biden is supposed to receive $850,000 a year as chairman of the partnership. He bitched about that and said it wasn't enough. He said, I'm the only one that's being asked to take my toe out of the water with all of my other commercial interests. No one else is being asked to do that. And I have to admit that I do expect that if I can't keep my toe in other things, I will need a hell of a lot more money than $850,000 per year. $2 million to me sounds good. That'll yield $1 million before taxes, and the other half goes to her, which means his ex-wife. 850 to me means 100,000 to me. She has a 750 floor. That does not include all the debt, I assumed, and not one dime for the girls. Two Ivy League school living expenses and the most expensive high schools in D.C. If you don't think that this series of concentric circles are coming and tightening down, these are incredibly cryptic, meaningful, relevant documents as it relates to this issue. Let's go to Chuck on line two. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Good. Hi, Newell. This is a slight change of subject, but there is something that's going around the internet right now. I actually got a copy of it sent to me. It's called DonaldTrump.watch. That's the web address. Mm-hmm. And you might want to look into it because it's a voter intimidation issue. They've tied their website. They talk about people who've donated to the Donald Trump campaign as racist. and they've tied that website to the Federal Election Commission's website, to where you can go online and punch in a zip code, and it'll tell you everybody, their home address, names, and how much they contributed to Donald Trump. And it's being used as a voter intimidation tool, is what I believe. So
possibly, but you can link to any number of public addresses like that relatively easy, and there's no really prohibition to doing so.
I called the Federal Election Commission, who they gave me the statute. There was it's in the Federal Election Commission's rules. It's page 85, and I forget the subsection and all of that. But it might be something people might want to look into, because it really is nothing more than a voter intimidation, because you can't find Biden supporters on there either. All you can find is Trump supporters, what their home address is, and how much they contributed.
Yeah. No, I've heard of that.
I haven't heard of this one,
but I've heard of other ones thus far, and I didn't get a chance to go check them out. And that's why I really haven't talked about them, because until I go check it out and it comes from a reputable media source, I'm not, I haven't had an opportunity to look into it. But I'm familiar with these tactics. It's something that has gone on in state and local levels for a long, long time, it's not something I ever participated in, but it's misleading, and it is a form of intimidation to try and embarrass people and get their business associates and others who may be on the other side of the aisle to try to stop doing business with people because of their political proclivity.
Exactly. Well, I just thought I'd pass that along. I found it very interesting that was the case. I've never seen it before in all my years in the election cycle. With all the riots and the protests and everything that's taken place, to put out the names and addresses, home addresses of the contributors seems to be pretty extravagant. It's DonaldTrump.watch, if anybody wants to check it out, because I don't think it's right. I don't care who you're voting for. That's not the type of intimidation that should be implemented.
And that's actually some of the stuff that they talked about in the press conference with Ratcliffe and Christopher Wray and others in the intelligence area yesterday about foreign influence. That these are some of the similar types of games that they're playing as well. Chuck, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Got to get to a break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll come back to the talk lines when we return. So we've been talking about this guy, Tony Bobulinski, who was brought on to be the CEO of Cinehawk Holdings, which was the principals there were Hunter Biden and another guy by the name of James Gillier. Bobulinski has said in his statement that he does not believe that Joe Biden's previous claim that the Democrat and the younger Biden did not discuss Hunter's business. He said, I've seen Vice President Biden saying he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that that's not true, because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line. He goes on to say that the Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China. He says the Chinese involvement in the deal was simply political or influence investment on their part, Bobulinski believes. And in a May 2017 text, Gillier warned Bobulinski, don't mention Joe being involved. It's only when you are face to face. I know you know that, but they are paranoid. Bobulinski replies, okay, they should be paranoid about things. Bobulinski goes on in another text to say, you need to stress to H, which is Hunter, does he want to be the reason or the factor that blows up his dad's campaign? Things need to be done right and protective of that fact. I don't know. Seems to me that somebody knew a lot more than what they're claiming they knew, and there is independent validation of that on many fronts. More to come because some of these other business partners are being approached by federal authorities and congressional committees as well. And it's going to be interesting to see what their testimony is going to be about that, what their appreciation is about these emails and these contemporaneous emails and text messages that are being sent are pretty damning. Gives you a real time perspective of what's going down as they're scrambling in order to facilitate meetings between principals of the communist regime in China, a breakdown of what the financial benefits are going to be for the partners in representing them to the U.S. government. Let's go to Brown on line three. Brown, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was just calling because I remember 4 years ago it was all about Hillary's emails. And after the election, she never went to jail, never was locked up. You know, so it's like it's the same old game, but just different characters this time. All of a sudden.
Well, no, it's a little different this time, Brown, because they actually got the emails. You will recall that Hillary destroyed the emails. So they didn't have the emails. Now they got them. Where Hunter Biden went bad is he didn't destroy the emails. Maybe that's why he brought the hard drives to the shop, was to wash the hard drives. I don't know. That hasn't been revealed as of yet. And he made the big mistake of leaving it too long. And then under the agreement, once he goes past a certain date, the guy's free to do with it what he wants because he hadn't been fully paid for the services he provided. All of that is going to come out at the end of the day. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what it reveals.
If someone's there, he'll already be in jail like many of the people from the Trump administration. When the FBI sees something there, they'll come down there, get you, put you in handcuffs, take you away. You know, I listen to things like Obamagate, nothing was there. Hillary emails, nothing was there. It's just like, it's leadership versus lies. This time we have an election and we're voting for another leader. We're just tired of these lies, I am personally. And you know, to see that they're trying it again is almost laughable. They're pulling the same old email card out right before an election. I mean, we saw it already, and that's basically all.
It's not too terribly different than the Russian collusion, you know, stuff that was talked about in anticipation of the 2016 election, right? I mean, it's no more or less coincidental on any different front there. Let's go to Mike on line two. Thank you, Brown, for the call. Mike, welcome to the show.
Afternoon. On my perspective real quick. So is it possible that instead of taking his laptops to an iStore, an Apple store, a Best Buy, he brought it to a local shop? Yes, it's possible. Is it possible he just left it there and they didn't really recognize who it was, but they think it was him because of a Bo Biden sticker on one of the laptops, even though they can't confirm. Is that possible? Yes. Is it possible they couldn't get a hold of him for 90 days and he just left it there? It's possible. It's also possible that they hacked into his iCloud account because you can't publish stolen material. So if you hacked into his iCloud account and got some information, put it on this laptop mixed with false information, came up with a story on how somebody else could get a hold of the information, then pass it along to Rudy Giuliani before 2 weeks of the election, that is also a possibility. So authentication of all the emails and all the information, I think, is going to be the key. All I'm saying is both are possible. So if you want me to, you know, if I'm, you know, taking politics out of it, want to believe that he left it at a local store with all this information on it and they couldn't get a hold of him for 90 days. It's not like the story was, well, we tried to get a hold of him and he just never showed. The story is we couldn't get a hold of him. So I'm okay. If you want me to believe that, that's fine. But there's also the other possible scenario that somebody got information illegally and came up with this story to get it published before the election. Can we agree that that's a possibility?
Well, the problem that I have at this point is that the independent validation of other partners of Hunter Biden who have been subpoenaed have already issued statements saying that they validate the emails. So how the emails got on that hard drive, I think your theory would be more suspect than anybody else's theory, because now participants in the email chain said, yeah, that's a real email.
So if this is a collusion
conspiracy theory effort, you know, by someone or somehow, already in the days after the New York Post story, you have one of the partners who's in jail for fraud, by the way, in participation with some of these companies that were involved with this whole cast of characters, has given access to his Gmail account to a bona fide reporter who's now going through these emails, matching up responses to the emails that were on Hunter Biden's hard drive, and has validated these emails. Now you have a CEO of a company that was owned by Hunter Biden saying that, I don't know what representation the Bidens are making that Joe did not know, but the big man in the email, we all knew that to be Joe Biden. So this brings a whole different landscape to this. So when the initial Post story broke, yeah, what you're saying may be true, but it's too late. The cow's out the barn. There are too many other people that have validated these emails that have come to the forefront, and I suspect there's going to be even more. Because now you got another partner whose conviction was overturned, that the district court overturned the conviction, and the appellate court came in and reinstated it. He's going to jail. He's going to be a cooperating witness as well. And it's going to be interesting to see what documents he brings to the forefront in all of this. And these are all, you don't hear the Biden saying that these emails are not true, that they're not real, that this is all a hoax. All you're hearing is that this is a smear job on my family. Okay. I mean, y'all wrote these emails. Your brother wrote an email. Your son's business partners are engaged in email conversations with your son. How do you extrapolate your way from that? Go back and remember, he said, I never discussed any of this. Well, it's ironic because there was a meeting in the White House off the books with these Chinese folks or other folks, excuse me, in the White House that is subjected to this. And now we're finding out that bank regulators flag these transactions between the Chinese and the Bidens. Why would they do that? If this is all on the up and up, why is all of this happening?
Again, 2 weeks before the election, and we're talking about it. So if he wins, then it still gives them something else to talk about after they win. It also gives them something else to talk about if it's closed and if there's other things and do you really want this crook. So it does two things. It gives you something to talk about just before the election, and it also gives you something to talk about moving past the election to cast doubt on criminal activity. Now they're calling,
realize that there are people that have been calling to look into this with the Bidens for, I think, over 2 years now. This is not a new request. Now, it just so happens that you have, you know, someone who's sitting in jail and who gives up his Gmail account to the media and says, you go look at all of these emails and decide for yourself whether or not the Bidens are dirty or not.
Did we have a Republican-led committee that earlier said that they didn't find anything? Is that accurate?
On a limited basis as it relates to Ukraine. That's correct.
Okay. So, but this, again, has come out, and I'm not saying all of it's wrong, but what my scenario was is you can put real information
information. If you're not saying it's all wrong, is it worthy of a question tonight at the debate, and is it worthy of a denial by Joe Biden saying, I still maintain I didn't know anything, I wasn't a participant in any of that?
His campaign has come out and talked about the meeting and other things, so they have denied a lot of parts of it. They have done that. I mean, I've seen it. they've denied some of that. I'm not saying.
No, they said it wasn't on the official calendar, but now we know it was an off the books meeting. That's a whole different. Those statements don't align. We'll be right back. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What's going to happen over the next 3 hours, Scoot?
Well, we're going to have a press conference from Mayor LaToya Cantrell at 1:30. We're going to carry that live, and then the governor's going to hold a press conference at 2 o'clock. So in the few minutes that I have before, we'll talk about the debate tonight, and then we'll be here in the 3 o'clock hour to and whenever the governor wraps up, we'll be here to talk about everything that's going on. Just so much is happening. I'm glad some Saints fans are going to be in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Sunday. And, you know, as much as some of us complained about the rudeness of the last debate, can't we admit that we're kind of tuning in tonight because of that possibility? I mean, it's like you don't want a car to wreck at NASCAR, but just the possibility that you're going to see a wreck is one of the things that makes it a live, compelling event.
Absolutely. I don't think you're off base with that at all, quite frankly. I do believe that there are some that desire that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I know we don't want to admit it, but so we'll talk about all of that. Plus, we'll have some of the winners from the CMT Country Music Awards last night.
All righty. Scoot's up next. Stay tuned, folks, for a great show. Want to thank everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.